Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Settle back now, content, comfortable, well-fed, and ready for some fine entertainment. Is everybody happy? Then let's go. It's showtime.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
Most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. So welcome. Happy Thursday. We're back almost 3 weeks later, but we're back. Took a little break. And then, why are you looking at me like that? You know I can see you, right?
It's just been such a long time. It feels weird, man.
I know. It's been a long time. I forgot how to work the mixer, so I had to refamiliarate myself with it. But we're back. It's been almost 3 weeks. You know, used to be we only did a show a month during the off season anyway. I don't know when this once a week stuff started.
Or every other week, you know.
I don't know.
I mean, we pushed it this far before, so.
We have. Anyway.
Yeah. Well needed.
I enjoyed
needed vacation.
Yeah, I took a little vacation, left town for a little bit, did a little amusement park activities and such. Museums and whatnot. Fireworks. Went to Pennsylvania, so had some fun. It's pretty cool. We have today just some news. In fact, you know, if we were going to take 3 weeks off, this was probably the best 3 weeks of the year so far, because there was absolutely the news was dead for two of it.
Yeah. So it just started picking up a little bit, but
it started picking up a little bit. And we're going to get into...
Sports are starting to open back up. NBA starts back up tonight. Baseball made a return.
This is true. Baseball made a return. And there's some... NBA's coming back. What else is coming back? That would be it.
Hockey.
That's the other one. But the other thing is, we did have one recruit. And we also have some moves. Some former Syracuse players making some moves in and out of the NFL, and we had another one leave us, so we'll talk about all that stuff. And then, of course, everybody has seen hopefully the 2020 schedule with the you know, 10 conference games and the one non-conference rival game, they're calling it.
We can get into that, but
we'll get into all that. Maybe we'll give our predictions. The schedule, to me, looks rough.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Looks freaking brutal. So, all right, we will do all that. But first, as you well know, this show is sponsored by BetOnline. In fact, the distributor of the show, Armchair All-Americans, is also sponsored by BetOnline. So, as we were just talking about, you got NBA starting up. We got baseball is in full swing now, huh? You like that? Full swing?
There's
no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expensive jewelry collection. Sounds interesting. If that's your thing, go check it out. He'll give you a chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. So visit betonline.ag today. You've got the NASCAR. You've got the baseball. You've got NBA tonight. We've hopefully got some NCAA coming up. Football, that is, and maybe a month and a half or so. So check it out. All the odds are updated every day there. Don't forget to sign up. Take your advantage. Take advantage of all of the props and all the other stuff out there. Welcome back, sports. Welcome back, BetOnline, your online wagering experts. All right, so.
Yes.
Joe. This one we left up to Surrey, but we're not sure. Kellen Ellis has committed to the Syracuse Orange football team. Guard, offensive lineman, 6'5", 350 pounds. He's a big boy right there. And also, which is cool, it's the second commit from Hawaii, and it's the first two of this class, and the first two from Hawaii ever, is what I read.
Right.
Which is crazy. Maybe a little Ohana, maybe some Babers dipping into the island there and pulling some stuff out. It sounds, I mean, hey, I like it. I like it.
You never know. You never know. He's got, you know, ties from the old days since he's been there, and you don't really know whether or not, I mean, sometimes you get a guy that's from the certain area and it makes it a little bit easier. So maybe, you know, the commit of Austin earlier in the cycle made it easier for him to commit. But I mean, he's ranked as the 63rd offensive guard in the country, and he had some pretty impressive scholarships as far as the list goes. I mean, we were there with UCLA, Virginia, San Diego State, and Hawaii. Decent schools, and like you said, 6'5", 350. I'm sure he's definitely going to have to turn some of that into muscle, lose a little bit of weight, get into shape. That is a big boy, but I know that's he's just like any other lineman, three-star guy. He's going to come in. He's probably going to redshirt. Even though he does have the size, he's going to redshirt, and he's going to get his body in shape. And that's just the one thing that I just – do like, especially with Babers in this group, is it just seems to me like they're loading up on some of these big guys where it takes maybe a year or two to get their body right, but I start to see some of these guys coming up, and it's exciting, especially at the end of last year when you saw how effective we ran the ball. So just adding to the group, right?
You know, we've got a move. Might as well just do this one first. I'm doing these out of order, but you bring up the run game when we got a receiver in Cam Jordan, who is probably likely to step up this year. But he's no longer a member of the Syracuse football team, as the Syracuse Orange football team released an updated roster on this past Monday, and he wasn't on it. So he's a four-year junior. He played in 24 games over the last two seasons, according to Syracuse.com. And, you know, he was expected to at least compete early, you know, coming up this year, seeing, you know, that we lost some spots there, but some players there. But he's going to be gone. Talk about the run game, though. I mean, kind of leaning on that, balking that offensive lineup and getting it ready. I mean, you still got Nykeem Johnson and Taj Harris. Ready to fill those roles. And Nykeem, I mean, he had his issues last year. I mean, easy stuff to fix, in my opinion, but...
Right. Well, you do have, obviously, a situation where we've always had the next man up, right, at Syracuse. And, you know, it really would have been nice to have Tristan this year. Cam, big body. He's been good for us on the special teams end. And, yes, he was first in line to be able to take over that spot that Tristan had as outside receiver. Who knows what he would have done with it, but I do know that he was a very highly skilled special teams player. So he's going to hurt one way or another by him leaving. Just another gap where someone's going to have to step up, and we have recruited, I think, wide receiver pretty well. It's just we don't have a lot of experience. So someone's going to step up and fill the void. But, again, I think a lot of filling the void is going to be running the ball. And I think last year we saw a little bit of uptick of usage with passing to tight ends. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a little bit more of that too.
What about we got two decent tight ends too.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, we got two decent tight ends coming out the gate. They both can catch, got big bodies. They're more proven than a lot of the receivers that are on our roster. So you hope the Courtney Jacksons, Ed Hendricks, he was a big time, right?
Aaron Hackett. Remember?
Yeah, Aaron Hackett, yeah, and Luke Benson are the two tight ends. But Ed Hendricks, he was a highly rated receiver he's gotten hurt with his knee.
2 years he's been injured. Yep. He's been injured for 2 years.
So, I mean, we have talent there. It's just inexperience and some injury questions and just who's going to step up. I think Nykeem wasn't 100% last year, and I think he'll have a better year. I think Taj Harris will have a better year. He'll have definitely be more on page with DeVito than he was last year. I think you could tell the difference between Tristan and him last year. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right?
There was a lot of frustration there with that. You know, I think we talked about that a couple times last year. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was visible in the games, but now that Tristan's not there, because we talked about that, Tristan being able to sit out that year before in his transfer, and he was probably playing catch with Tommy a little bit more than he was Dungy, right? And Taj Harris was out there playing. So I think he was a little bit behind the eight ball with getting in with Tommy, and this offseason, hopefully, they've been working on that, because Taj Harris is fully, fully capable. He has the confidence, and we need a leader in that group right now.
Yeah, so, well, let's continue with the football trend here. Just a couple more that are former SU players. Evan Adams, he was released by the Baltimore Ravens. You know, I mean, these were, I think I kind of saw these coming, and I kind of saw the Sean Riley coming, getting released from the Patriots, but I do think that was a decent, like, I thought that had a shot. I feel like that was a good fit. The problem is he really never, they didn't get to do any type of spring stuff. They haven't been, you know, the new guys are kind of starting, you know, to say the least, they haven't gotten a fair shot, unfortunately.
Right.
So,
I mean, you're talking at this point of the game, usually we're watching Hard Knocks, and the preseason's coming up, and teams actually have the practices and the scrimmages and the games. This is not a normal off season, obviously. And, you know, if you're coming from an undrafted free agent type situation this year, it's just really not a good year for you. And that's unfortunate because we had a lot of them this year. Right. But, I can see a situation where I can see where teams are going to go with more proven veterans because of the uncertainty of how much time you're actually going to have to prepare. And that's unfortunate for these kind of diamond in the rough undrafted free agent guys who haven't really had a fair shot.
I feel like
as far as a normal off season.
Yeah, I feel like obviously the lack of opportunity to impress coaches was, you know, obviously worked against guys like Sean Ryan.
And I'm not just talking about these two. I'm talking about everybody.
Oh yeah, no, I'm talking about them as a group too. I mean, there's a ton of them out there that got cut that never got a fair shot, and to even get a shot on a practice squad and stuff like that right now is. I mean, even that's going to be tough. But you got a guy like Sean Riley who probably could have fit on a practice or practice squad or even special teams like he had been.
Right. Well,
slot guy or whatever. I mean, you don't know. I mean, it was kind of a long shot, but I felt like it was the
right. Well, I think those two were more the bigger long shots, right?
Yes. I mean,
we had Tristan. Yeah. Tristan Jackson, he went undrafted, correct?
Yes.
And Kendall Coleman went undrafted. Those were guys that we thought, you know, were good locks to have a really good chance to get on a team as an undrafted free agent. And you just wonder what this offseason is going to do for guys like that.
Yeah. Well, Tyus Battle signed with a pro team in Russia, so that's where he's going to play. So it's good news for him. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sterling Hoffrichter signed by the Falcons. I don't think that's any surprise. You know,
he got drafted. He's getting signed.
Yeah, he got drafted.
Although
signed.
They are saying that he's going to be in competition with the old punter, but
that's,
we'll see.
That's fine. Whatever. Also, Elijah Hughes, he was voted into the NBA Combine, so which is says a lot.
Got an invitation.
Yeah, he got an invitation, so it says a lot because, you know, from what I was reading, and I never really paid attention to the numbers, but about 60, 70 players usually get the invite, so that's pretty good. And the Combine, obviously.
I always thought he was a lock to get that invite.
Yeah, I think he's good enough. The Combine usually is come and gone by now. It's usually held in May, but it obviously was postponed and has not yet been rescheduled. So, I don't know. So maybe something to look forward to. I don't know. Something to talk about later. So, anyway, one more thing, And then we'll try to get Tyler on here. I saw something today. We're going to have Tyler on to talk Notre Dame, by the way. Weaseling their way into the ACC, which is just typical. But anyway, I saw something today that John Wildhack and Syracuse were seeking a exemption from the travel rules, okay, outside of the state, because, as you well know, Cuomo has banned nearly every state in the union, put them on the quarantine list. I think there's 34 of them now. So if the rule goes at is if you leave the state for more than 24 hours, when you come back, you got to quarantine for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that would mean if they don't get exempt, they would have to travel day of, play, and leave day of. They'd have to be right out of there in a day. So they're trying to seek, you know, a reprieve from that. Obviously, it seems a little unrealistic, but I would be interested to know the criteria on which they do get granted that, if they do, because, you know, I mean, we understand that they're athletes and everything, but they're traveling with medical people. Like, I understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're getting right tested more. They're having their temperatures taken more. So I'm hoping that all of those things can be factors in getting a reprieve from this, but we'll see. And that goes for every New York team, not just Syracuse. So,
right.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting. So, because it's not something we thought of. And there's probably going to be a lot of these little things that come up, that pop up, you know, and are like, oh, well, we didn't think about it that way. We got to get around this loophole. You know, they're trying to figure all that out right now while we're just like, oh, we're going to have football, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, and yeah. I don't even know if...
You got a month to figure it out.
You got a month and about a month and a half to figure it out, right? When's the first game? September 14th or 15th, right? Wasn't that it?
No, I don't know. Games
in the ACC, yeah, 7th through 12th. So games in the ACC start the week of the 7th through the 12th. So, yeah, you got about a month.
A month and a week.
About 5 weeks to figure it out. So, anyway, hopefully they do. Look.
Just cross our fingers.
Yeah, because I'm not totally sold on that either. And...
No.
You know, we'll see what happens. Just as long as everybody is taking care of themselves and not being stupid, you know, which is AKA living your life like normal. You know, you got to just chill. Okay, let's try to see if we can do this. And, you know, there's still people out there that don't think we should have a football season at all. So, and they're entitled to that opinion as well. So, right. I disagree, but that's okay. All right, before we bring Tyler on, one more time. Let's hear it from the folks over at Bet Online. The sports, as we mentioned, they keep coming back. All the sports, they seem to be pretty strong right now, except for the Marlins baseball team, of course. And so your chance to bet on a team with our exclusive wagering partner, Bet Online, is premiered itself. And like we talked about, baseball, got basketball coming. We're weeks away from college football. NASCAR, obviously. They didn't have the TBT. In fact, I didn't find the TBT anywhere on these types of sites. But anyway, they got everything else there. When we talked about it, Floyd Mayweather, he's joining the BetOnline team. You can even bet on prices of his jewelry, and maybe you can win some of it or something. That's what this says. So visit BetOnline.ag today. Check out all the odds and updates on the sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. And look, Joe, what is the number one sign of a bad home security system, Joe? What is it? Am I on mute? You muted me.
Why am I supposed to know that?
Why are you supposed to know that? Because this is a question I'm proposing to you.
I have no idea.
Because that's what this sheet says. A home security system that's so complicated you can never use it, Joe. Of course. Obvious answer. This is exactly the type of security system SimpliSafe has spent a decade fighting against. They believe that that simple is safer. You get it? SimpliSafe. Okay. And that is exactly why SimpliSafe is the home security for right now. when feeling safe at home has never been more important. Simply Safe was designed to be easy to use while protecting your whole home 24/7. Bet online with the click of a button. Open the box, place the sensors, plug it in, and boom. You're good to go. And your home is protected around the clock. No technician or salesperson has to come and disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a two-year contract. Simply Safe was named the best overall security system of 2020 by U.S. News & World Report. And their 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch starts at 50 cents a day. You can turn this thing on and off as you please as well. You do not have to sign up for a month. You're going on vacation. I went on vacation this month. I could have signed up for this month. I can shut it off next month. That's as easy as that. So head over to simplysafe.com/team and get free shipping and 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplysafe.com/team. And make sure they know you heard it from us over here at Q's Militia and Armchair Media. All right, great. Okay, let's bring on Tyler. All right, joining us now, our good buddy, Tyler Morona, former host of the Trademark Podcast and current California resident, Tyler Morona, at Tyler Morona on Twitter. What's up, bro? Joe's drinking another beer.
I like the ceremonial popping a cold one with the boys. That's awesome. I'm doing really good, man. Moved back out to California 3 weeks ago. And I moved originally because I kind of had a drop dead point on when I was going to be moving out here to potentially be ready for coaching and then starting a career in education. So went back to grad school to go get a couple of my teaching credential and a master's in education so I can hopefully one day be a head coach of a high school football program. So out here at the beach and loving life, besides the fact that,
the beach isn't open.
I can't do it. But it feels good to be back. You know, I'm living with family. I get to see my parents every weekend. And my entire family lives out here. So, even to, the very last, estranged aunt and uncle. So for me, it was definitely weird to go out there, but I mean, it's awesome to be back.
Awesome. Happy for you. It must be beautiful looking outside that window.
Oh my God, man. I can't even begin to
share.
I don't talk about it that much because my fiance is still living in Houston. She's riding out the lease out there and we're going to be apart until New Year's, man.
What?
So I'm all out in the line here. I'm risking life and limb and relationship. So we're getting married on October the 3rd here in California. And then she's going back to Houston.
Holy cow.
This is how much I love football. I mean, I would never say I love it more than I love my future wife. But, I mean, we're definitely testing how much we love it together.
So, and it's, yeah, no you know, kidding.
That level's pretty high.
No kidding. How much does Notre Dame fans love the fact that they have been independent and not in a conference in their football team for the past 132 years up until, I don't know, yesterday?
I mean, number one, you it froze for a second, so I'm guessing when we're talking about Notre Dame.
Oh, it froze? Okay, yes. I was just saying, in 132 years of Notre Dame playing football, they've never been lumped into a conference. Their fans pride themselves on this independent league, whatever, right? Well, now they're in the ACC. First of all, for them, that's funny to me, okay? My brother-in-law, good friend of mine, huge Notre Dame fan.
Okay.
I think it's hilarious. He's part of the reason I really can't stand Notre Dame, but I was never a fan before. But the whole dabbling into the ACC and still being independent thing was always annoying. You know what I'm saying? So, well, first, absolutely. let's talk about Notre Dame playing a full slate of ACC games for 2020. Let's start there. There's a couple things to talk about for the year, the schedule, the speculation on the one non-conference game, and then we're going to just quickly give our predictions on the conference games, okay? Because we've got 10 conference games we're going to play. Okay. We know the home, we know the way, and we'll kind of just throw a spitball that, okay? So okay. Go ahead.
Good deal.
Okay.
I guess fair. I'll start out with this. This is the question with the question. Fair or foul that we have to accept Notre Dame because there've always been an ACC team, and they play us in everything else. I mean everything else. And then separately from that, they're not even in Atlantic Coast. They're in Indiana. That's not an Atlantic Coast state.
True that.
So
facts.
Should we have to accept them? They're a Big Ten team through and through. I mean, they're terrible. Colin Cowherd always calls them thick in the ankles. They grow their grass out real long so that when USC comes to play, they're not used to like Midwest football, and they still kill them every year. I mean, they're a fraud program. They go to the playoffs all the time, and they get shellacked by 1,000 by Clemson. And then that's now who they're going to play in the ACC title game. We've seen that game 1,000 times. I don't need to see it anymore. I know who's the better team before they even get off the bus. So that's how I feel.
No, it's better to see that game before the playoffs.
Exactly.
So in one way, again, it's funny because Notre Dame, they throw their name around. They throw their weight around, right? They have that huge TV deal, independent, get that money. Yeah. But in other sports, they've proven that, the conferences and other teams, they kind of need them as well because that is a big name, and it does bring popularity and competitiveness in other sports from that team. So you never really know when you look at it. The question is really who needs who more, right? And
when you're
not a Notre Dame fan, then you're like, oh, make them join a conference, make them join. But then when it's the other way around, they're like, no, this is like history. We don't need to do this, right? But I think this year is going to be one of those things where if they're a fraud program and if they're going to have to play a legit schedule. It's not going to be none of these traditional, we're playing Army, Navy, all these other teams, right? It would have been funny to see them actually have to sit out the year because they couldn't play any conferences and actually just home and away with all the independent teams like New Mexico State and Liberty and BYU and all those guys. Yep. Yeah, that would have been great because they never, even if they went undefeated, they wouldn't even make the playoffs. But it's going to be funny because we're really going to see the true colors of them playing in a conference. And I think that that's actually going to carry some weight on that player and on the players and the teams because really they've never been in that position to be in a conference. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be a little bit different for them. So we shall see, but I wasn't very happy about it because I knew that we were going to have to play them.
Right.
I knew it, right?
It's so weird that it's like whenever they can play us, they have to play us. I don't know what that is. It feels like it's always like once Notre Dame has that little ACC crossover, it always is against us. Like it's never against, they always try to build in that win for them. And I feel like that is just like the stupidest part of it. the Yankees uniform in Yankee Stadium, that was an all-time bad visual. I don't know how they got away with that. I mean, and let me say this. All respect in the world to Clark Lee. He's now the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, and he was our linebackers coach at Syracuse at the time. A really good coach. I love him. But other than that, I really don't want anything to do with Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, yeah. The question was raised, I mean, fair or foul, right? I mean, well, right. the reason that ACC is even allowing this, well, first of all, I guess they feel obligated to some extent, but they're splitting all this TV revenue evenly amongst all these teams. And it's one division. Right. There's one division this year, okay? I want 15 teams, one division, two best teams, whatever, title game, okay? They're simplifying it up a little bit, right? So,
they're not even guaranteed to get there.
They're not guaranteed to get there, but I mean,
they're not getting. I'd
actually put money on it that they don't.
Well, there's no way. It's going to be UNC, most likely, or whoever. It's Miami because with De'Aaron King, like Catholics versus convicts is back. I'm really excited about that. Not to disparage anybody one side or the other. Who's really the convict in this situation when you think about it? Because Notre Dame, that fraud team, they're stealing our eyeballs away from a good game when they're number four in the playoff. That should be a convicted felon move, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, what'd they get shellacked 52-7?
Yeah.
It was awful. I mean, they deserve a 100-year ban from the playoff for that.
It wasn't just that year, though. There was a, that wasn't just that year against Clemson. They remember they went to the championship game against Alabama.
And they lost by 50 as well. It's we know how the story ends. And it's like, it's always, and with Notre Dame, it's always like, this year's different. I think if you put like Memphis in our conference, I would be like super excited about that. Or UCF, you know, it's like, let's take a team that actually wants to be up there. And like, give him a shot.
Yeah. No, I'm completely right there with you. And it's funny because the naysayers are going to say all the other, you know, fans from the other teams are going to be like, well, force them to join the conference forever and this, this, and that, right? But realistically, when you sit back and look at it, it's going to be nice to sit back and see if they do play them struggle through an actual conference schedule.
It'll be refreshing, for sure.
If, you know? So, yeah. I mean, there's a one way to look at it and be like, ah. Let them hang them out to dry, right? But then there's
that's me, by the way. That's you.
But then there's other people that are like, hey, let's let them in and let's actually show them what's up, because you can't. There's going to be a chip on every team's shoulder when they go and play them. Oh, Notre Dame wants in the ACC. They're going to
It's like it's like the defending champion theory. You know, like everybody gets up for that one game to play Clemson, or they, you know, they get up for Florida State, and then they quickly fall apart if the coach isn't there anymore because he took another job. And like Jimbo Fisher, like when he left Florida State, you know, everybody, you know, took their best shot at him, and then they go 6-6, and then it, you know, deteriorated for a little bit. Or like a Louisville, you know, all these types of programs. And I mean, I would put Notre Dame maybe 4th to 6th in the conference right now. So it's like, we're not adding the champion. And I think that's what's the funniest part about it is like the Notre Dame fans are like, oh, dude, now we just get to stack ACC titles in our pocket. Like, no, you're not.
I think it's most likely to end up like the end of like a Scooby-Doo episode where they pull the mask off. Hey, this is who it really is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you went 7-4. Yeah.
So funny, Joe.
I'm really excited for that too, because I mean, we'll know right away.
Yep.
That's how it's going to be. And then on the flip side too is that if Syracuse ever does like get to the top of the conference, and then Notre Dame was in there as well, then it's kind of like, well, it strengthens the conference from top to bottom and gives us like that. That team, like a Texas A&M that is in the SEC, that's like, they're always good, but they're never great. It gives us that team too, where it's like, you know, if you can have that swing game, which I think Virginia Tech is on the other side of the bracket for a lot of teams. Like if you can beat them, then you're, you know, that upper tier team. So I guess it's good for that side. But like I said, they've been in the conference for how many years now, playing basketball and baseball and lacrosse? So it's like, you know, what's even really that new?
I know.
No, and it's they did the same thing from the Big East to football.
Yeah.
Or to ACC, I'm sorry, not to football, but Big East to ACC. They did the same thing, right? They were in the Big East.
Yeah.
Yeah, basketball.
Well, and all the other sports.
Yeah.
Just like
right, it's like the sacred football team just is stand alone, shall not be.
Yeah, you know, well, and it seems like we just can't get away from them, right? Because we had that home and away, and then because Marone, I think Marone scheduled, or maybe not him, but it was during when Marone was there, and then Notre Dame was forced to play 4 teams a year, and of course the first year that they were to do that, we had to play him, right? So it's like, we just can't get away from him. I mean, we just played him, what, 2 years ago when Dungy was here? So
exactly.
So we've got a 11-game schedule. We got 5 in-conference games, 5 home, 5 away, and 1 non-conference rival game, which is likely, I guess, to be probably maybe Liberty, because they're playing still. We lost Colgate. We lost Rutgers. Because the whole Rutgers team's like tested positive. They're like the Marlins of New Jersey.
Did you hear the reason why that they tested positive?
No, I don't know. I don't know if I heard a reason.
So they all went to a party on campus, and they all got the virus, or you know, the guys that were infected. And then I texted Michael Lasker, who was my roommate, And I texted him. I was sick for like 15 straight months on campus. Like, you know, it would have been a no-brainer that if I was still on campus, I'd have coronavirus right now. Like, it's a shoo-in. Like, you'd go to these basement parties and queues, and it's like, you're like this with the next person. Like,
oh, yeah.
You're nose to nose.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, yeah. So, to me, I was like, this is not shocking at all. Like, this is, like, the easiest thing I could have ever predicted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, though, if sports don't happen and there's kids on campus, that's going to happen anyway. In fact, they're probably more likely, if sports don't happen, for them to be partying and getting infected. At least they're probably being a little bit safe if they know they have to be a little bit responsible playing sports. I mean, that's just kind of how I see it.
That's you know, giving players a lot of credit. And also, like, I knew I wasn't probably supposed to go out on Tuesday nights on the off season, but that wouldn't stop us every now and then from doing that as well.
Sure. Well, sure. Right. But there were, right. Yeah. But it didn't, you couldn't cost your whole team a season of football at that time.
So, right. You hope that, you know, guys are being a little bit responsible.
Yeah. So, home games, Boston College, Duke, Georgia Tech, NC State, and Wake Forest. Away games, this is just bend over.
Stupid. Yep.
Bend over. Clemson, Louisville, North Carolina, Notre Dame, and Pittsburgh.
Okay. That's like classic ACC. Dude. That is just classic. Let's bone Syracuse as hard as we possibly can.
Yep.
So yep. When you look
expect at tomorrow, the NCAA saying that Chris Blight isn't getting his
transfer.
He's going to get his transfer.
Waivers.
To sit out a year.
Yeah.
That's just going to be the cherry on top, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, would that not surprise you, though?
Dude, it's like they looked at it and said, what are the five easiest games that, you know, Syracuse could win on the road? Let's make them home. And then let's go and put the five right. hardest games
right.
on the road.
And in the just, conference, yeah.
Right. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. We're in a situation where a month ago we didn't even know if there was going to be football. I hope to. I pray that there is, right? So it's hard to complain about this, but
we're going to anyway.
Very manageable schedule, like a schedule that I thought was going to put us in a situation where we could surprise some people into right.
Camping into, World Bowl again, something like that.
Right, into basically us having to win all of our home games and our non-conference games to make a bowl game.
Are they doing bowl games this year, or are we just kind of like, you know, giving us a bowl if we go 6-5.
Oh, God, I don't even
that's
know.
That's a good, that's a good question on the bowl games, but there's a championship game, obviously. It is already scheduled. So, and they're going to do two best teams based on win percentage, which is the best way to do it. So, I mean, there was talk about Notre Dame not being eligible for the Orange Bowl. I thought I read that somewhere. So they're still.
Well, they're not going, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. It's like Notre Dame's getting three losses, at
easy.
Least.
Easy.
Oh yeah. Has their schedule out? Is every ACC team schedule out?
Yeah, they put out the full graphic.
Do we know Notre Dame's?
It's yeah. Hold on, let me
here. I'll look at it right now.
Well, I just saw ours. Like higher. When I.
Went up once, actually.
See, when they showed it at first, I was like, oh, that's not our schedule. It's just, you know, the way that they're going to do it. I'm just waiting for the schedule. And then it actually was a schedule. And I was like, of course it is. Of course it is.
Why can't I find 2020?
We don't play Florida State, though, do we?
Well, we don't normally play them anyway.
Right. Florida State's usually.
Oh yeah. I know that they're in our bracket, but
no, it's nice to see that we don't play Miami or Florida State. But
I thought
that
we,
helps.
I
mean,
thought
that's,
we'd
that's
be
a gift
be playing be
good. Okay,
Virginia Tech this year.
Hold on. Okay, Notre Dame. I got it. It's in like one big graphic. Yeah. So Notre Dame home for Clemson, Duke, Florida State, Louisville, and us. Away games: Boston College, Georgia Tech, UNC. Pitt and Wake Forest.
Oh, that's
they get the three hardest games at home, and they have North Carolina on the road. So
North Carolina is going to be tough.
I mean, I don't even know if there's a road win that I could maybe Pittsburgh. Maybe.
I think if we're healthy at the end of the year, I think we should be okay with that.
With Pitt.
Yeah,
I think.
Well,
I mean, like, we're not going to.
We don't know
this. We always play close.
We don't know the order of the schedule either, right? So
That's true. We don't. Yeah, it's down at the bottom, but I guess we don't really know.
Boston College. I hate.
I mean, I would rather hit that gauntlet of the road games just early.
Same. Just 0-5.
I mean, maybe not all of them in a row, but you know, just it's one of those things where you know we're a little bit behind the eight ball with schemes changing in the defense and with a new offensive coordinator. So I'd hate to lose a home game to some team we think we can beat just because we're just not gelling at that time. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
What do you guys have, Matt? Conference record.
Well, let me take a peek again real quick. This is quite the slate.
I got
it's crazy to me because, again, I'm right there with you. I see four away losses, five games that we can win at home if we're, like, on our game, and then Pittsburgh, which is a toss-up.
See, I got Boston College, Duke, Georgia Tech, NC State. I'm always worried about them. Wake Forest, I'm a little worried about them, but I mean, I could see that being a win. So I would give, four wins at home, giving up one to NC State. Lost to Clemson, lost to Louisville. North Carolina's gonna be tough. Notre Dame's obviously gonna be tough. Maybe Pittsburgh. Maybe you get the one win at Pittsburgh and you end up 5-5.
Pittsburgh's always tough too, right?
I know they're tough, and we're playing them at Pitt.
You look at our home games. I mean, North Carolina State, they still have issues with quarterbacks. Wake Forest, I know they're going to have Sam Hartman,
the QB one coming.
But I know they're getting Surratt. Yeah, he left, and I know they got Sage Surratt coming back, the receiver who's pretty good. But I think that's a team that we could. I mean, that's a 50-50 toss up too. In Boston College, I know that they have problems at quarterback too, but they also have the best offensive line and a running back who's a beast, who's just going to replace Dylan. So,
yeah, I mean, that's typically how they go. I mean, they always have some sort of beefy guy back there because they had Andre Williams before him. So, mm-hmm.
Are you gonna keep going? Yeah,
the home games aren't going to be tough, man.
No, I mean, I got him going 4-1 at home. That's not bad.
That's not bad. But we also are probably going to go 1-4 on the road.
But our non-conference game will be at home, by the way. It has to be played in New York, from what I read.
No, that helps. Well, it was supposed to be at our place anyway, right?
If it's Liberty, yeah.
Ah, well.
Why, were we on the road last year with Liberty?
Yeah.
Yeah, we opened at Liberty.
Yeah, that remember Hugh Freeze in the window?
Oh, yeah. In the hospital. Yeah.
How could I forgot? Well, I know it's going to be Liberty, or they're talking about postponing those games and maybe making it like a Buffalo or an Army, something like that. An in-state school, so that you don't have to worry about the travel.
I thought Buffalo was one that was definitely not going to happen, though, because I thought that was talked about. Either way, we'll find out. We're just spitballing on that. But so what do you see? I gave mine. What's y'all's? I say 5-5. I think they can pull off 5-5. I hope for 5-5. I feel like that I'd be happy with that. And then we get our non-conference win, and we go 6-5.
It's a positive record. Yeah, I mean, Syracuse, though, famous for the one upset special and then the one like most heartbreaking loss of all time. So
I know
maybe the 5-5 won't actually be. You know, the order in which we think about it. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, this offensive line, if they can really gel and mature, and I heard they're looking good physically. So, I mean, if that was really the biggest detriment from last year, you like to believe in the fact that everybody's a year older, you're more experienced, you're more in the weight room. I mean, whether that's, you know, fact or fiction at this point, I can't tell you. But I just don't think that running the ball is going to be as big of a problem as last year. And then if we can keep Tommy upright, we've seen that he has gone in and played good games against good teams. So it's just, man alive, I don't know. This is just brutal. And I think, like, as much as I'm going to love this schedule, if it plays all the way out, it actually affects us the most. Because like you said earlier, Joe, like, this was one of the more favorable schedules we've had in however many years.
Yeah.
And we were going to open up probably 5-1 to maybe 6-1 in the first 7 weeks. And it's like all of a sudden now, like maybe that is like a carryover into what we saw with Dungies last year, you know? So I don't know. And I don't know.
I'm right there with you because from what I saw at the end of the year, and I was at the Duke game watching that offensive line and the way that we ran the ball. I know we don't have Mo Neal, but I think that we've recruited pretty well at the running back position, and it's just a next man up situation. There's no reason to believe that offensive line isn't going to be better. From what I saw, as soon as Alexander left and they changed it, you saw an immediate difference. I mean, it was crazy to me, and I'm like, is this you? Right. So you bring that into the fact that I think looking at the way that the season ended as well, looking at leaders like Cisco, Trill Williams, even DeVito, I don't think he had the season that he wanted, obviously being a first-year starter. I think he's going to learn. He's going to take a progression, and he's going to be better at figuring out when to slide and when to run, when to throw the ball away, that kind of stuff. And I think that we're going to be better at keeping him upright because we're going to be able to run the ball more and with a better offensive line. So obviously receivers, we have to figure it out. But just the way that they ended at the end of the year, not going to a bowl game, the way that Trill, you know, ended that game in overtime against Wake Forest, they didn't want it to end there, and you could tell, but they were excited the way that it ended. And so sometimes those are just little things that can push you into working a lot harder in the offseason to try to prove people wrong the next year. And I think that's really where we're at, and that's why I was excited about the schedule we had before.
Certainly.
Yeah.
But even now, I don't think it's gonna sway the attitude of this team. I really don't.
Well, and we talked plenty too about just starting behind the eight ball with all this, and I know Tyler believes, you know, everybody's starting behind the eight ball, right? And that
I mean,
but I think there's teams that are just that they have a longer leash with that, being able to start behind the eight ball.
And, no doubt about it.
And we definitely don't, in my opinion. I think like we needed everything we could get. As far as spring games and instinct and stuff like that, and camp and everything like that, we could have utilized every minute of that, and unfortunately, we just didn't get it. So I'm still really skeptical, man, about just having a good season. But like to Joe's point, with the schedule, yeah, absolutely. I remember being excited about it. I don't even remember what it was anymore. It feels like 3 years ago that I saw that schedule, and it's gone anyway. So. You know, it's just, you know what, though, guys? I mean, as long as we got college football, as long as that this does happen, I mean, like we said earlier, like Tyler said, you know, can we really complain about it? I think not. So let's just hope it plays through.
Man, I hope so.
Well, I guess to answer, and I speak from a little experience now on the coaching front, you know, just the shred of experience. High school is tough because we've been having to do a lot of our installations, and we've had football pushback in California to start camp on December 14th. So, you know, thoughts and prayers to
crazy.
The fall. Yeah. And my sanity. But, you know, it is what it is, and then we'll kick off in January. But from what I hear, a lot of college coaches have really enjoyed this time because they're getting more individual work in with their guys more than ever. Because, like, all of spring ball was like, just, hey, we are just going to work on, like, what do you need to do as an individual? And we don't really get that much time to do that at the D1 level. Like, it's all about, like, hey, are you fitting into the scheme? Are you learning the scheme? Let's not, like... We did a little bit in fall camp as far as, like, you know, technique, and like the difference between technique and just running a play is, like, if you run a play, I can walk forward, but how do I get past my man? Getting past my man is technique. Running forward is the play. So it's like we've been able to, you know, say, hey, or I've gotten a chance to watch all the film from last year for our high school and really get to call kids and be like, hey, you know, I know what your thought process was on this, but let's work on the technique. Let's work on how you get there. And a lot of, like, I heard Nick Saban talk about how this is the best year he's ever had coaching his corners, because he's had the most time to be able to like break down technique. And then if we can get that foundational level up, the scheme is a lot easier at that level, because guys are higher IQ, you know, than high school football IQ wise. You know, they can pick up things faster. So that's a little bit of what I've experienced.
No, and that does make a lot of sense, because a lot of times football is just go, 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 go. And now everything's been so slow. To the point where, like you said, coaches can sit here and break down tape and actually have conversations with kids and get in their heads as to what they're thinking about when they're doing this. And like you said, technique. So that does make a lot of sense. Be interesting to see how that does help.
Don't get me wrong, there's no substitution for on-field reps, but you know, at least the guys can go out there like right now, and I think if they're all wearing masks, like, you know, they can go out and at least walk through their scheme.
Yeah, anything would help.
Anything.
So all right, well, that's all I got, gentlemen. You good? Any final thoughts? Joe gave a thumbs up. You can't hear a thumbs up, anybody listening, but Joe gave one. So
still don't like Notre Dame, but
I can't stand Notre Dame. It's all good,
but
though.
They're gonna be squirming all year, bro.
I hope they do.
Sorry, go ahead.
They're gonna squirm all year. I totally agree. It's not even. I didn't even really like totally put that into perspective, to be honest with you. But they're, you know, it could be fun. It could be fun to watch them kind of struggle for a change, and it's going to feel really good, and it'll be worth it, I think, at the end of the year. But I would like to see just on the other hand too, if this wasn't going to be a permanent thing, to just hang them out to dry too by themselves for being so independent for 132 years. And as soon as they need to lean on someone, all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, sure, we'll join. How independent is that though? At the end of the day, when you really think about it.
I was cool with
you. I know you were. I just
hope that Ian Book doesn't come out and win the Heisman.
There's no way. There's no way. That dude looks like a Peaky Blinder. He's not going to win the Heisman. Everybody knows a Notre Dame fan. Like, don't you feel just like bad for that person? You're just like, dude, that kind of sucks. You know, like,
I was
like, there's no character behind being a Notre Dame fan, because like, I don't think anybody really like has that big of a connection. Like, even if you go there, I feel like everybody that lives out here that went to Notre Dame just winds up becoming a USC fan at the end of the day. You know, it's like, nobody really cares that much.
I was really close to just getting. Having my brother-in-law come on here and talk about Notre Dame with us, but
I'll act like a Notre Dame fan real quick. What do you want for us, man? Like, what do you want from us? Like, we do everything we can. Like, you know, we got Brian Kelly. He's pretty good. You know, like, that's like, you know, Manti Te'o, dude, or you know, like, it's always somebody that they bring up.
We win the games, like, in front of us.
Exactly. Yeah, you choose every single year.
Exactly. And they'll be like, well, dude, we play Stanford and we play USC. It's like, those teams they've been down for.
Army and Navy are good.
When they play each other, sometimes.
No. Like, they actually have been better in recent
years. They've been better.
At the same time, they're not like world beaters.
Well, Notre Dame, I think their, you know, claim to fame is actually making like Navy a very relevant program. Like, they raised Navy's level up, and then they like beat them, and then they were like, "All right, that's enough of that. No more independence for you. You're going into the American." So,
all right. Well, that's all I got. We could go all night, and they would. They would.
We would.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning back in after 3 weeks off. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Tyler, for coming on. Obviously, we love you, brother. Glad to see you back home. I know you're happy. I didn't realize you weren't with Katie, but, you know,
she says hello to you guys, by the way.
Yeah,
to all the Katie. Listeners, shout out to you. Wouldn't be a show without you.
Exactly, something like that. All 10 of them. Thanks, Simply Safe. Thanks, Bet Online. Thanks, all of you. Again, for Joe and Tyler, I'm Sean. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.